We do want to say that in Bible school this week, our highest attendance was 158 this week.
And we appreciate all the young people. When you get 158 coming out, and you may say, Lynn, what did you average? Well, 147 is what we averaged for the week. And so we're thankful to average 147. That's a lot of young people. It takes a lot of work. And I said this just after there was nine that the Lord saved here on Friday night, and we were thankful just to see one soul saved. But even if nobody had gotten saved, it's about seeing the seeds sown for the future. Teach young people about Jesus and myself. I grew as of this experience this week, and I appreciate the Lord in that. And of all my years, I can think back like Sister Beth did for many years back, going to Bible school at the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church as a kid. And I can remember a lot of fond memories, a lot of good times, but I'm going to be honest with you. Even in the pastorate, where I used to pastor in here, this year there was more prayer, more effort that took place in this Bible school this year than any other Bible school that I've ever seen. And I realize, yes, it's going to cost a little money, but I'll never begrudge a dime that I spend on young people. When you look around and, well, how much of a price will you put on a young person's soul? You know? And so all of you that worked, you have a soul winner's reward. For every decoration that you taped to the wall, for every hardship you had to go through this week, you've got part of a soul winner's reward, at least nine souls this week. And no telling what the future will hold after that. So we do appreciate all of you. Again, to the teachers, if it hadn't been for y'all, we would not have had Bible school. There's no way we can do it without the teachers. You guys are willing to sacrifice your time and put it on the line and do all this work after you've had a hard day on your jobs, then come in here and take care of this. I know you went home frazzled about every night. God bless y'all for that. I really appreciate from a pastor's heart. I thank y'all very much for all the hard work you put into it. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, we want to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Today is what day? Besides Sunday and besides June 19th, what day is this? Father's Day. And after all, we are in the Father's house. Amen? And this morning we preached a little bit about Father's Day, about a man by the name of Jairus. And tonight, Lord kind of laid on my heart, been kind of thinking about it about every day this week, about the prodigal son. And I know that y'all have heard about the prodigal son. And there's a father in that story. And the Bible says in verse number 11, a certain man had two sons. Now, if a certain man had two sons, that would make that certain man a father, would it not? And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. That youngest son came to his daddy and said, Dad, I want my inheritance. I want all my money. I want all the things that's coming to me out of the family. Before you die, I want it now. And the father, it would have been his right to have denied that young man. But instead, the father emptied his pockets and gave that young son just what exactly it was that he had coming to him. Now I want to say a lot of fathers, they're not going to give you anything until the day they take their last breath. Yeah, man. As far as your inheritance goes, you're not going to get anything from them. You'll do good to get an I love you from them. But I want to say that's not the kind of father you ought to be. When you look at this scripture here, when the younger son needed something, when he went to his daddy provided it for him. Aha, preacher. But he wasted it. That ain't his daddy's fault. His daddy gave it to him out of a heart of love because he loved him. And my friend, the younger son took it, being immature, being in sin. He went out and wasted everything he had, gone, lost it all. All that his father had given him, he wasted it all on riotous living. And the Bible says that when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. He didn't have anything, any money, couldn't buy anything else to eat. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and went with him into his fields to feed the swine. So he got a job feeding pigs. That was the best he could do, and it don't pay a whole lot. And my friends, even that job paid so little, He didn't have enough money to even buy himself something to eat. So he decided that he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He said, I tell you, I'm so hungry, I'll just eat pig slop. I'll eat the very husk of the corn that the pigs are eating. But no man gave to him. Now, I dare say you walk into the Bethel Baptist Church tonight, and you look around and see that this church has spent a lot of money on decorations, spent a lot of money on having plenty of food for the kids to eat and the adults to eat each night, provided for most of them a great meal. It wasn't just a snack. It was a meal where the people didn't even have to worry about taking their kids home and getting them something to eat for supper and then getting them to church. We went ahead and fed them right here, and I appreciate that. And in just a little bit, you'll appreciate too, because there'll be a big picnic over there where you can have plenty of hamburgers and all kinds of other fixings. But I want you to know this young man, he didn't have nothing to eat, and nobody gave to him. Imagine that if we saw somebody come in tonight hungry, Sister Beth, we'd give them a hamburger. We'd give them a potato chip. We'd give them something, a piece of cake, something that would help them. But this man had nobody that cared for him. Nobody that would give anything to him. And he began to think about what he had done, how he left the father's house, and how good his daddy was, and how much there was to eat back there. And here he was starving, and he's come to himself, and he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I'll perish with hunger? I'll arise, and I'll go to my father, and I will say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. In other words, I took all that I was supposed to have got, and I've wasted it all, and I'm not even worthy because of the way I've lived. And down here in this pig slop, I'm not even worthy to be called a son anymore. But I know that my daddy's servants are treated better than what I have, and I'm just willing to be a servant. So my friend, he arose, and he went back to his father. And look what the father does. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and the Bible says he had compassion. Oh, the heart of that father. Even though that boy had done wrong and left home and betrayed his father and wasted all that he had, oh, he still loved that boy. After all, it was still his son, even though he's in a pig slop. Even though he looked dirty and smelled dirty, that was still his boy. And he had compassion, and he ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. He didn't take that boy out and whip him. He didn't take that boy out and yell at him and scream at him, and like what a lot of us would have done. Want to yell and scream at one another and tell what we think and give what our opinion is. Instead, this father, he had compassion on him. And he ran to him. And he fell on his neck. And he kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's like a backslider coming home. You know, you're a son, a child of God. And you get in sin. You don't attend church like you used to attend church. You don't live with a standard that you used to live with. You've begun to decay and fall out. And one day you get off down there and you figure out that all these wicked seeds you sow begin to come up. And my friend, you're miserable. And finally you go back to God and you get on your knees and say, oh God, how I've sinned against you. I know you've lost confidence in me, but I want you to forgive me. Oh, with a heart of compassion. Our Father which is in heaven reaches down and embraces us and hugs us and loves on us rather than beating on us and hacking on us and pushing us around. He's got a heart of love. Oh, how we as fathers ought to love our children no matter how they act. I remember I was in a service one night, and there's a young man got up and he confessed that he had been on drugs in front of the whole church. And his daddy didn't even know it. And that boy's done told the whole church about it. And he said, God, forgive me. And I want y'all to forgive me. And his daddy ran to the altar. He wouldn't hug that boy. He found the altar and said, oh, where have I gone wrong that my boy would get in drugs and do these things? Oh, it's all my fault. I went over to that daddy and began to pray with him. I could see his heart was broken. I could see that he didn't know what to do. And finally, I looked at him and I said, Dad, your boy needs a father. He needs somebody physically to put their arms around him and forgive him of his drug abuse. Put their arms around him and say, I know you've made a mistake, son, but I still love you. And I want to forgive you and restore you. Just like the prodigal son did, that man looked at me. He said, "But I'm a preacher. This boy's embarrassed me in front of everybody." I said, "I'm telling you what. I don't care what he's done to you or not done to you. He's still your boy and he still needs love. Have you ever sinned, sir, and felt like you needed to come back to God? Did he push you away? Did he squander you, my friend, or did he love you?" That daddy got up and he went and got that boy and embraced him and he loved him. Boy, you and I have learned a good lesson there. To learn to love each other instead of pointing fingers and giving opinions and running each other down. Just learn to love each other. That's what's in the heart of the Father. Now here he is, and the Father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him." In other words, he smelled like hot slop. Give him a bath. He's got dirty clothes on him. Give him some good clothes to wear. Put a ring on his hand. That ring showed he was still a son. Put shoes on his feet so his feet didn't hurt him. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. In other words, he said, let's have a big old picnic out here. And let's rejoice that my son is home. Why? He says, my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. And they began to be merry. Oh, what a heart that father had for that boy to forgive him. But don't forget, that man had two sons. There's one son still stayed home. Remember him? The younger son's run away in the pig pen. Now he's come back. Now the elder brother, he was there the whole time. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, "What do these things mean?" In other words, what these things meant? And he said to him, "Thy brother's come." You know that one that run off to the pig pen? He's come home. And there's music. And my friend, there's rejoicing. They've killed a fat calf. Your brother's come home. And this brother, he was, verse number 28, he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now y'all look at me. That elder brother, the one had been off in the pig pen, finally came home. And the father put his arms out around him and welcomed him back. But when he came back, his big brother, he was hearing that music. And the Bible says that he wouldn't even go in the house. He just stayed out here. He was mad. He had the pooch lip. He didn't want to be inside. He didn't want to be around the father. He didn't want to be around his brother. He didn't want to have none of the good times. He just wanted to hang his bottom lip out and let everybody know he is outside the house pouting because he didn't get his way. His brother's back and he's mad about it. See him out there? "I'm not going in," he says. Therefore, the Bible says, I believe that the father went out there and said, "Son, why don't you come in? Read on with me in the scripture." Our brother's outside pouting and mad. He's just got the same spirit a lot of us has got. Amen. Us mamas and daddies pout and get the pooch lip and cross our arms and huff and puff. "I want to get my way. They don't know what they're doing to me." Just acting like the elder brother. The Bible says he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. In other words, he began to speak to his son and said, "Son, why won't you come in the house? Why is it you want to stay out here and pout?" And he, answering, said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son," do you notice he didn't even call that boy his brother? He said, "This thy son." He didn't call him a brother. Ain't that mad? He decided he didn't want to be related to him no more. Boy, that goes on, don't it? "I don't want to be around you no more. As soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead is alive again, and was lost, and is found." You see what that daddy did there? When the boy's outside pouting, didn't get his way, his daddy came out to him, began to speak to him. Even though that boy was angry, that father gave him kind words. That father had the same compassion for the elder brother that he had for the younger brother. Now if that boy don't come in, it ain't the father's fault. The father's loved him. The father's done everything he can to invite him in. Now I'll ask you something. Which one of those two ran away?
The younger brother. Which one stayed behind? The older brother. And which one came back? The younger brother. And what happened there with the older brother? He's outside pouting. Which one's in fellowship? The youngest. He was the one that ran away. He was the one that was in sin. But he's the one in fellowship. I want to say to you, the one outside pouting is just as much in sin as the one that went and lived down there in the pig pen for a while. Amen? But I'm glad that there is a father that loves both those boys, and he loves them equally. I say to you, moms and dads, you love your children equally. You'll never do a worse thing than love one better than another. It'll divide your home. And I like the compassion that he had. My friend, he was willing to love them no matter what. I pray tonight that the love our Father has for us, that lives inside of us, would begin to reign supremely. It's amazing how we get in the flesh and want to justify our actions and pout about things and run up and do this in a heat of anger. What it is we ought to do is have a humble spirit like the Father. Amen. I'm glad we have a God who has a humble spirit. Now if you'd stand with me tonight, you'd bow your heads. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Your head's bowed. All you young people, you stand on your feet.